Janet Mbugua, Mariam Bishar, and Eric Latif.
Don't let us catch you sleeping.
Every morning.
Can't wake up without it.
6 to 10 a.m. weekdays. Here is your number one breakfast show, Fixing the Nation.
We are back in conversation with Senior Counsel Martha Karua, also party leader for the People's Liberation Party. We were discussing matters, EAC and our politics. And just before we get to local matters, I wanted to know, and she had already hinted at this, has there been any communication from, you know, our ambassador to Tanzania or vice versa, anyone from our foreign affairs ministry regarding this deportation? What has happened? You know, what is our government doing? Because Kenyan citizens were deported from Tanzania and denied entry in a place where they should be allowed. So what has been the response of our ministry and our diplomats?
The Kenyan ambassador to Tanzania, Mr. Isaac Jenga, I believe, called through the phone of the Kenya Airways personnel. That is at the end stage where we are being pushed to get Kenya Airways, and a Kenya Airways person has been brought to us, and they are telling us to change our tickets because they want to deport us with our tickets. And we ask them who is going to pay for the change of schedule, and they say it's us. So at that stage, a Kenya Airways person came, told me he is speaking to the ambassador, and the ambassador is seeking to speak to me. I spoke to him. He said they were doing whatever they could, and that he was trying to get in touch with authorities, and that Kenya Airways could hold for a minute while he consults. Within about 30 minutes, Kenya Airways was back, that our tickets are now ready for coming back to Kenya. We asked who have paid for them. At first, the lady from Tanzania said it's Ministry of Foreign Affairs. I don't know whether Tanzania or Kenya. So I am saying, in the absence of any protest note by Kenya, we then we'll conclude they are complicit in our deportation. And how come it has happened a second time? How can a former Chief Justice Emeritus Willy Mutunga, be denied entry to Tanzania? What about Khalid and Hanifa? Does that mean Kenyans are not welcome
in Tanzania?
What is wrong? Their constitution talks about a public trial. Tundu Lissu's trial is not secret, it's public. So what harm would be caused? We were in court in Kisutu. We sat quietly like observers should. We only addressed the media on leaving. Is that the irritation? I don't understand.
Interesting to see what happens here. First of all, that, but the headline in the Daily Nation today, Gachagua faces arrest because of the words that are attributed to him, what he said over the weekend in an interview where he was talking about the composition of the IEBC, the preparation for the next general election, and warning of violence. Did you see what the former DP said?
I saw some of it. I didn't see it live. I hardly watch whatever. But I have the gist of what he said.
What do you make of what he said when he talks
Before I say what I make of what he said, I am asking Dr. William Ruto and his regime, why the drama? Why do you raid a governor's home like he's a flight risk? Do the police have a warrant to go and terrorize Governor George Natembeya and his family? Why do you send police to condone all the homes of the second deputy president of Kenya, Rigathi Gachagua? Do you have a warrant, or is it anything goes? When the government becomes the terrorist, then what do the citizens do? I just want to say, any roughing up of the people gathering at Natembeya's home or any injuries are on you, Dr. William Ruto. This is not the way to operate. Back to what Gachagua said, the way I have interpreted it, he was just giving a warning. Don't you dare tamper with the electoral process. And by the way, the tampering has begun. Look at how the IEBC commission was formed. Look at its composition without consultation with the opposition, because they cannot say they consulted with Raila. Right on, Abu Raila right now is part of government, though he denies. Therefore, if they were to consult, it is with my twin, Dr. Kalonzo Musyoka, and Eugene, who have members of parliament. So they have not consulted. What DP Rigathi was doing is sounding a warning. And we've seen violence, election-related violence, since 2007. We've seen election-related violence after the 2022 general elections. I was involved in the Azimio demonstrations. Over 70 people died, close to 100 actually, thousands injured. So has DP Rigathi said anything new? He's reminding. And we all know that after the 2007 elections, there was a bloodbath and that people were subsequently taken to The Hague, who included Dr. William Ruto. We also know witnesses disappeared. And there are people in this Kenya who know where those witnesses are or how they disappeared. So it's just sounding a warning in a volatile situation. If the KK regime is certain that they'll run good elections, they should not be worried about what the DP Gachagua said. They should be cleaning up the system to ensure free and fair election and to eradicate election-related violence in Kenya forever.
I want to come to opposition politics in just a bit, but just going back to the consultation on IBC, it's essentially independent. Some might argue there's no consultation needed, let the IBC exercises be carried out. We saw them televised. Some might say, okay, that's fine. So where does consulting with opposition or consulting with government come in for an exercise?
Yeah. It's not me who decreed it. Mm. We were not part of NADCO. We rejected NADCO as PLP under the name we used to go under. So, but both Dr. Kalonzo Musyoka's Wiper and Eugene's DP were part of the NADCO report. And the NADCO report became law. And it is in black and white that there should be consultation with the opposition. So unless if Dr. Ruto and KK are admitting that the opposition was conned in NADCO, the law demands they be consulted. That's all that we are saying.
Mm-hmm. How did the consultation come in, according to the NADCO agreement? Mm-hmm. Was the consultation before the composition of the selection panel?
The composition of the selection panel, mm-hmm. and you saw Dr. Musyoka go to court, and he was represented. Wiper was represented in that committee that was giving the possible names. Mm-hmm. But in picking the final names, once a list of names is taken to Dr. Ruto, he should have consulted with the opposition, but he didn't. So he skipped a vital step.
Why was that introduced?
Now, I wasn't part of NADCO.
Do you agree with it?
No, I didn't agree with NADCO.
Do you think it's a good step? Now, you
know, consultation is a good step. It's always been there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In fact, all the time before elections, there's been pressure and skirmishes leading to consultations, even 2017 when the law did not say so. There was the coming together of ODM and Jubilee in order to prepare for the 2017 elections. And I remember complaining, we were not part of it, to say that elections are not about two parties, other stakeholders should be consulted. So this has been a Kenyan tradition even before the law was set, yeah.
But Martha, there's some, including myself, have always argued that the politician is getting too much role to play in the IEBC. The player is having too much of a role to play in the referee selection. What's an election? An election is where the citizens take their sovereignty and they delegate it to their elected representatives. The most important stakeholder in an election is a citizen. Why is the delegated representative coming to dictate how the citizen shall delegate that authority?
Precisely. You therefore cannot leave it to one player who has interest in the elections, and that's Dr. William Ruto, to go appointing the chairman and everybody else to the exclusion of other players. So you bring politicians, you bring all of them. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you look for a mechanism that can help select without any politician. Mm-hmm. But don't bring one like the favored son, or as the Muluhya would say, Mwana Wambiri.
Mm-hmm. The selection panel is meant to comprise of minority, majority, members of the ruling coalition, PSC, all of those political appointees. Is the problem now that we don't have a clear way of telling who is majority, who is minority? It seems to be all one melting pot of politicians.
The point is, even after following all that process, the picking of the final names, you must involve the other side. And we are saying ODM is not the other side. ODM is the same side as KK. Yeah.
I just want to push back on this a little bit before we move on to the next point. The other side is in the selection panel. The politicians, again, and I do not agree with it, but be it as it may, a majority of the members of the selection panel are picked by the politicians. The public service, the Parliamentary Service Commission, the non-parliamentary political parties, and all, they all contribute here. That means that the other side has also participated in selecting, in interviewing, and vetting the candidates for the IEBC. When the names are taken to the president, they're taken to the president in his capacity as head of state, not at that point, not as politician. Pick, appoint.
If the law says, even at that last stage, you must consult, if indeed he's acting as head of state, not as a party, why does he skip slyly, skip that last step? That shows his interest and his underhand dealing.
So now,
that's precisely the problem.
Now that we are where we are, so what happens next? I saw the other day there was a news item that was saying that opposition leader Kalonzo Musyoka was calling for a people's IEBC, and so on and so forth.
He's not alone in that. We are calling, we are going to form a people's IEBC.
What does that mean, Martha?
It just means that we will form a body that will focus on every step that IEBC makes, hold it to account.
A shadow IEBC.
We will form our own to be able to, on a 24-hour basis, minute by minute, mirror that IEBC. Corruption starts with procurement, and if you have noticed, the secretariat of a non-existent IEBC, because up to now they've not been sworn in, we have none, the secretariat of a headless body is busy starting the procurement problem. The secretariat itself is a problem. It needs an overhaul. That's where the corruption starts. And that's how the electoral system gets fully, you know, wholly compromised. So all these are steps to watch. And because not everybody can be able to monitor minute by minute, we are not taking it lying down. We're going to be able to check what is being done and to take appropriate action without specifying which one, just appropriate.
I get the call for a people's IEBC, but what would make this a people's IEBC one? Because it could be said that's now the opposition's IEBC, not the people's IEBC.
Let's get to that debate after you see the selection. Yeah, and in the same breath, you should be calling out this as a William Ruto IEBC because he finished the process on his own without the others. So it's balancing the William Ruto Commission with the People's IEBC.
Will you challenge this in court? Because we have a current team. We have a chairperson who's been nominated. It's before Parliament. We've got commissioners who've been nominated. They're going through vetting in Parliament. But you say that the process of nominating them and forwarding their name to Parliament is unlawful. Will it be challenged?
Personally, I was not part of NADCO. But my colleagues who were part of NADCO are at liberty, and Kenyans who have seen the law are at liberty to challenge, but don't put the responsibility on me as a person.
The question I'm going to ask, maybe you've alluded or answered to it, but given obviously the deep frustration that Kenyans have, whether it's with unconstitutional arrests, etc., what does the opposition formation have to prove first to Kenyans to show that they're cleaning house? Because some might argue some of the tactics or some of what's been said is a throwback to. So as an opposition formation, what do you think you need to prove first to convince Kenyans we're here to clean house?
We are in our infancy. We are forming our structures. I think the focus always is on the government in power. When we reach that stage of marketing our candidatures, then you will check the qualifications of each of the person marketing themselves, and you will also check our joint agenda for Kenya, because we're going to come up with a platform for transformation by which then we can be judged. But at the moment, the people who must account blow by blow to the people of Kenya is William Ruto and his KK and Brigade and allies. They must tell us why they are imposing land tax keen to the colonial government on landowners throughout the country. Why they are introducing punitive tax, why they have styled themselves as an extractive regime that wants to extract every drop of blood, every penny from the already suffering Kenyan citizen without any commensurate service.
Right, and in line with that, in line with that, again, and this is a question we pose to a lot of, you know, the lead who come here, is whether there's also going to be an integration of young voices and whether it's going to make enough room for these voices to almost be heard as loudly as the voices that have been there for a long time.
Yes, and the young people have been there. I would urge the media to give them as much room as they gave us. For instance, I'll say my Secretary General is a Gen Z. She was at Wamunyoro. She wasn't covered, though she spoke. There were other youth who speak. Every party has their membership, which has every generation. But the focus is on those who have been. So I urge the media to help us amplify young people's voices, not just within the opposition coalition or within government, but generally, so that those who are upcoming leaders can also have a chance to showcase their prowess to the country. And in the PLP party, we make sure that our young people do shine, and they are decision makers. They don't just fill the space. They are decision makers. And they are within the national executive and within the higher ranks of the party.
I think I must just point this out, because I've observed and seen that your party, you are basically grooming young leaders, and you're letting them take the reins of the party. It's a good thing to see. Coming back onto opposition unity, you've been here before, Martha. Between 92 and 97, you know, there was a whole excitement of multipartism and so many political parties coming up. 97 to 2002, there was now the push for all these opposition forces to unite. As Moi was leaving, making sure that Moi leaves, and then also seeing who comes in after Moi. You've been there before. You saw what happened in those 5 years. Is it similar to what we are seeing now?
Our best,
with the talks of opposition unity and seeing all of you coming together.
Yes, our best was 2002, when KANU was dethroned, and we are trying to reenact, not in every sense, but a 202, where everybody comes together, you select one leader, and if you remember 202, all the candidates were joint candidates of the opposition. And that is the way we were able to vanquish KANU in one election. So that is what we would like to see. And I keep telling Kenyans, removing authoritarianism is not a walk in the park. We need every vote, we need everyone. And those who are worried about issues of accountability, that we may remove Dr. Ruto and his regime and bring another authoritarian rule through a different name, are right to worry, because we cannot hold ourselves accountable. I keep saying, the public, you are our accountability partners. You are the ones who are going to select from among ourselves the next leadership. There's good leadership among the youth, among the middle-aged, and among oldies like myself. It is not about age. We have seen deliberate rotten leadership of all ages, including the youth, the old, and the middle-aged, and across the genders. So let us weigh each candidate, and not just for the presidency or the six elections. The most important person to you day by day in terms of services is your county government. The county government equals the MCA and governor. Elect those first, and elect credible people in every ward and in the county. Then go to the national parliament. That is your women rep, constituency MP, and your senator. Elect people who are value-based leaders and who are servant leaders. Then finally, top it with electing a credible leader as the president. Selecting only one election to concentrate on it's not doing Kenya and ourselves a favor. Mm. Let us worry about all six elections. And yes, the opposition is worried about the six elections.
Back to our conversation with Martha Karua and many comments.
Many comments. We have general saying, a government, general, this is on YouTube, a government that opposes the position becomes a weak government. Okay. There's people here saying, who are the good leaders? They're there. Perhaps they failed the first time. Are we recycling them? A lot of different comments. In fact, I wanted to bring this to senior counsel and say, we recently had Senator Onyonka and also asked him about the mistakes, quote unquote, of, say, Fred Matiang'i. And I think the point I'm trying to make is, how do you navigate yourself out of pushing forward, say, with PLP and saying, this is how I want to drive change in Kenya, when many times there are people who hold you to the mistakes of your past? How do you hold those two truths together as you navigate this political space?
You put the mistake forward, the perceived mistake, and I answer it because I believe that I perform to my best in every public position I have held. I was an activist before being elected. As a youthful person, as a Gen Z at that time, and a backbencher parliamentarian for 10 years, I believed I performed nationally as a member of the National Assembly, performed as a member of parliament for Gichugu. I was minister of water. I believe I performed rolling out water sector reforms, which endure to today. I performed as minister of justice, the highlight being the making of the constitutional framework, a legal framework that helped complete the constitution, not to mention campaigning for it later as a backbencher. I have been constant voice since 2012 when I exited parliament. Mm-hmm. I've remained a national voice, not because of pay, because I've not been employed, but because serving the nation is a calling. So everybody will be able to explain themselves.
For what they've done.
For what they have done.
Let me give you three questions.
We'll be able to answer any allegation. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's one, but it's coming from three different people. Yeah. Jeff Charlo says, Mother, don't pretend to be holier than thou. That's what you did when you were in charge of the justice docket. Derek says, 2007, 2008, you, Martha, I'm twisted the will of the people. And then Smallest Ever says, I saw a comment here by Smallest Ever. Yes, Martha should know that if Raila had been given his win in 2007, which she denied, Kenya's history and present would likely be different today. Probability law supports his view. All of them are pointing to the 2007
general election. You know that 2007 is a tired old tale by people who refuse to go back to the archives because perhaps those are people who were not even there in 2007. The perpetrators of violence were taken to The Hague. Two of them have been elected president of the country. The lone voice saying we must obey the law in 2007 was Martha Karua. That is the person who want the men involved in the atrocities to wipe off their bloody hands on her skirt. So I'm saying, go back and see what it is. There's a video online. Listen to that video. Listen to me saying, this election will not be won by shouting, but by the ballot. Mm-hmm. I was sticking to the rule of law. There are other videos, me calling out ODM, telling Raila as leader of ODM that he bears responsibility for the atrocities committed by his people in the Rift Valley, his supporters in the Rift Valley. Mm-hmm. So go back, get those clips. My only crime, asking them to follow the rule of law and standing as Kibaki's agent. Kibaki deserved an agent, just like Raila deserved Orengo as his agent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So those are myths. Mm-hmm. I have followed the rule of law.
Did
I will continue. I'll continue championing the rule of law.
Mm-hmm.
I was also Kibaki's chief negotiator. Was that a crime? Wasn't Kibaki supposed to have somebody? I voted for him and I was following my vote.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I did fairly well.
Yes.
Yeah. Looking back, Martha, you are Kibaki's chief agent.
Yeah.
And what happened.
Yeah.
We even had the Kriegler investigation and all. But just looking at the events of that evening, when power went out, power comes back, election announcement, and also
did power go out?
There was.
I was at KICC.
There was broadcast rather. It's not power. It's a broadcast.
Those are the tales
that
people build on. I was at KICC. No power went out. We were there all night verifying the results. So these tales that get built upon, these are old, tired narratives. Let people, and I always ask online, so what specific crime do you charge me with? Oh, you supported, you helped Kibaki, like Kibaki didn't need support. Those who went to the ICC were charged with crimes against humanity. Mm-hmm. It cannot be that those who investigated then when it was fresh missed out Martha Karua, but 30 years later, somebody who wasn't there now knows it was Martha Karua. No? Mm-hmm. Today, I'm with my brothers in the opposition. Even right here in this studio, you are asking me about my brothers. Mm. I don't have a baby politically who is on my back. Ask me about me. Mm-hmm. Ask my brothers about themselves. Mm-hmm. It's so much easier for people, I don't know why, in this patriarchal society, to ask women to carry the responsibilities of men. Mm-hmm. There was an electoral commission headed by Kivuito, whose name was not Martha Karua, it was Samuel Kivuito. There was a chief justice called Evans Geshero. So when you say, oh, you swore Kibaki at night, of course I witnessed the swearing in quite happily. Mm-hmm. But what happens to all those men? Mm-hmm. Kibaki himself was an adult. Mm-hmm. So don't force me. Though I have a political baby on my back, ask me about Martha Karua's action, not anybody else's action. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I was also not minister in charge of security. Mm-hmm. As minister in charge of justice, my work was to champion rule of law, period, and I did it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When about Martha Karua's actions, recently there's been coming together of Martha and Rigiji.
Yeah.
A lot of people who know your politics and your stances over the years would see a conflict of values there between Rigathi Gachagua and Martha Karua. His politics have been, to some people, divisive, have been also very mountain-oriented. Does that speak to, anything as far as, is it a marriage of political convenience?
I will unite with everybody that I have to unite with in order to liberate this country. Mm-hmm. The question of personal accountability mm-hmm. is at the personal level and at the voters' level when you are voting in leaders. And I think if you are talking of a divisive leader, the divisive leader in chief is none other than Dr. William Ruto, mm-hmm. where every time he sees somebody from the mountain, he is saying tribalism, not seeing his own tribalism. Or put it at other leaders. So I am not going to judge. I will hold hands with my brother and with all the others. He's not the only one. Why do you single him out? Mm-hmm. He's not the only one I have united with.
Mm-hmm. Indeed he isn't. But you've been speaking about
Martha. Have been with everyone. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean their values have become my values mm-hmm. or my values have become theirs. But sometimes working together and binding yourself together mm-hmm. in an agreement, in a national platform, mm-hmm. that then we market to the people at the stage at which you can ask, does that national platform mm-hmm. conform to the Constitution? Mm-hmm. It is a work in progress, mm-hmm. and we are together united mm-hmm. to liberate and have a better government, mm-hmm. not liberate and have more of the same. Mm.
The common goal is to liberate and have a better
government. I wanted to throw it in here and say, because you said that, you know, one of the things that you really want to see done is to remove Kenya Kwanza administration from office, make sure it doesn't come back.
Yeah.
Some of the Kenya Kwanza administration people who were kicked out, Justin Muturi, Mithika Linturi, Rigathi Gachagua, now in this alliance of yours, does that not make you uncomfortable in the least bit?
No.
And just before I let you respond, I'm piggybacking that on what some comments are saying here, that McCoy says, I feel she finds herself with the wrong team, which makes us wonder if she's one of them. You don't have to join a team that you can stand on your own. He or she who stands alone is the strongest. And someone else says, Moses Mwai, why does she constantly choose the same political outfits? Why can't she try other people like Omtata ETC? Because how can we vote for her when she's tied herself to the same characters that we want out?
Right. There was a question that was also at the back of my mind. Does Kenya have a shortage of leaders whose ethics are not so questionable that we can side with?
You sit here every day talking to the people. Mm. I have not heard you question the ethics of William Ruto.
Oh, we have every day.
But Martha, his KK regime, because I know, maybe I'll give it to you, The Nation and The Standard, you've really questioned. Mm-hmm. You have been on that trajectory.
Yeah.
But him and his leaders, that's where this is a diversion. To start attacking the coming together of opposition, we have not even put a platform together, and you diverting us from holding these people to account. And I'm saying, I am the same person, and I've been the same person. Mm-hmm. And hold on, Kenyans, wait for the national platform.
Yeah.
Hold us to account on it jointly. But for now, hold me to account as Martha. Mm-hmm. Do not ask me to account for my brother, but I walk with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
In church, when you enter, imagine you associate with thieves, with murderers, with everybody. You do not leave your church because somebody else has entered.
Mm-hmm.
So these questions that are coming, people are very judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, people have been saying, same forest, same monkeys. I want to add one, same citizens who elect people who are not worthy knowingly. So same monkey, same forest where the politicians like me are concerned, but same mwananchi. We are not importing new ones.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we accept that we have not done well as a nation and then reason together and see how to move?
Okay.
Instead of pointing
fingers.
You know,
I have a quick question. I don't want to miss it, but what is the one policy commitment that signals that PLP isn't necessarily a rebrand of NARC Kenya?
To begin with, NARC Kenya had not committed any offense.
Mm-hmm.
So you cannot say that the rebrand of NARC Kenya, nothing wrong with NARC Kenya.
Mm.
But just like we do, you change your outfit, you repaint your house. So we've repainted. We've always been a party whose heart is close to issues of social justice. Social justice is fairness, especially to the vulnerable.
Mm.
A Martha Karua government or a PLP government would have a just economy where citizens are not overtaxed, where you broaden the tax base, keep the taxes low, and prioritize use of the taxes to the basic needs of the people. And I keep saying, people think running an economy is rocket science. Mm-hmm. The same prudence you use with your finances is the same prudence you use on national finances, where you cannot go buying an outfit or a car when your child is at home without fees, or when the landlord is evicting you, or when your child is sick. You start with the priorities. We would weed out all the non-priority items. We would stop the leakage through theft and abuse of funds. Why do you buy fuel guzzlers, new ones every so often, for those in authority, and at the same time say you do not have 1.6 billion for vaccines for children, 1 billion, for instance, to pay for the exams? You know, you just have to do what is right and also obey the rules. A Martha Karua PLP administration would run Kenya with our operational manual, which is the Constitution of Kenya. There's a chapter on public finance that tells you the do's and don'ts of public money, that it must be used for the best interests of the people, that the human resources also must be applied to the best interests of the people, making sure that also you respect the rights of the people as is written in the Constitution. No abductions, no gangster-style raids on a governor's home or on a DP's residence. You arrest them. You first summon them. They don't come, you arrest them. You do not have to terrorize the entire country. Those people seeing what is happening at Tantabea's home feel terrorized. You terrorize his children. You terrorize the people of Trans Nzoia. You terrorize Kenya. We do not want a gangster-style administration. We want an administration that respects the rule of law, respects those who are out. Those who care to remember, when we were campaigning in 2022 and I was Raila's running mate, I kept on saying that should we win, we will also look after the opposition. Looking after them doesn't mean patronizing them. It means letting them have their space as provided by the law.
Mm-hmm.
That is missing.
Mm-hmm.
We have to wrap up now. We have about 3 minutes to the top of the hour. As a last clarion call, because we talk about this politics of change very much so, what is required from the political class, one, and from the people, so that we can actually forget this house properly?
The political class, it's unity of purpose with a national transformation agenda, which then the people will have contributed to and can hold them to account on. From the population, this is your job too. Leaders cannot liberate without citizens being part of it. Become part of the transformation you need, and while at it, let us discuss the role of money in politics. Mm-hmm. If you expect handouts from the people, then you do not want good governance. Let us only look for the values a leader espouses, for their past performance, for their history and credentials, not for their money. And let us as Kenyans start contributing to political parties, both ideas and money, and the same to candidates. Mm-hmm. That way we will grow our democracy. Let us not elect because of money. I hear people saying, Martha can be a good candidate, but she doesn't have money. I don't have to give you a shilling. I have never had money ready for any campaign. Mm-hmm. Money should be mobilized. Mm-hmm. And I'm always ready to mobilize. And I never lack, yeah, because there are Kenyans who donate. Mm-hmm. Small and big, in cash and in kind. Okay. Join the liberation movement. It's about you as a youth. It's about you as middle-aged. It's about you as a senior citizen. Mm-hmm. We are a family, and Kenya is a family. Right. And our home.
Yeah. Thank you, Martha.
Meru Open Podcast. Martha Kura will always remain the mother of our nation. She's strong, not politically only, but takes Kenya to the point where we all need.
Thank you.
And that's Moses has followed up with a saying, my question wasn't a diversion. It was just an honest question. This is my second election. Again, why choose the same characters we want out? We want you, not them. Mm-hmm. Charles Okenyoru says, Karua, do anything, even if it's joining witches, but ensure that KK government is down.
And Jeffrey Ndai, no doubt of all possible candidates with experience, except Tata Karua is the cleanest. Mm-hmm. History shows consistency. Come out strong, Karua.
Come out strong.
You'll always have those, yeah, mixed.
Thank you.
But thank you all the same.
Yes.
Yeah. Martha Karua, the party leader for the People's Liberation Party, has been our guest.
Your number one breakfast show, fixing the nation.